Father, I thank you for your presence that's so real and so manifest in this place. I pray you open those floodgates over this house today, over our minds, our hearts, to receive your word today. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. And you may be seated in the house of God today. I really have a kind of a different word today than what I normally, Robert, when you asked earlier in the week about getting outlines and this, I didn't ignore you. I just had an uneasiness in my spirit, and I knew where I was going and what I was doing. And yesterday I went to see my pastor, or I consider my pastor, Pastor Joel Travis, who's 89 years old. You guys have met him. He's been here. He's ministered. He's prayed over us. And we were celebrating my father-in-law's 81st birthday. And a happy birthday, Pops, Calvin. Amen and amen. Yeah, give it up for my father-in-law. He's lived with my mother-in-law all these years. He deserves better than that. Come on, give it up for him. Just kidding. But something that was just so reconfirmed yesterday in my spirit is something that the Lord has really been dealing with me about and dealing with me in my personal life about. Anybody ever experienced a stress or frustration in your life? About four of us have. I want to talk to you about one way that God is dealing with me on handling that stress and that frustration. And it's just simply two words. And I'm going to try to just teach for a minute today, and I hope you receive what I want to give you. But he really spoke into my spirit yesterday in particular, kind of put the icing on the cake as this man of God was ministering to me. And it's simply slow down. Slow down. And by the look on some of your faces when I said that, it hits you too. Slow down. Slow down. I remember, you may remember the blizzard of, was it 93? Was it 93? We got those, some people were saying 20 feet of snow, but it was about 3 feet maybe. I remember my brother-in-law and myself, I had this old beat-up 1987 Toyota truck that I had already rolled a couple of times, and we were out delivering food, and I remember this in particular because when I come home after all this happened, my wife was sitting there, "You've left me in this mess all day long." And we were out delivering, we were taking food and checking on people, and man, we were having a blast. I remember going through some places where the snow was coming up over the hood of my truck, and man, we were just trucking and cruising. And I remember we were going down the main drag, and we're coming down through Sevierville, and I'm taking it slow and easy. I'm in a four-wheel drive truck, but I'm just, you know, taking my time. And all of a sudden, this cool cat comes flying by me. Got his cool beanie on. He's got the look, got the nice car, and all strolled back with his wrist over the steering wheel. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, just plowing right through, just flying. And I'm like, really? He had the look. He looked like he had it together. Looked like he knew what he was doing. I mean, he had the nice name brand stuff. I'd just been to Walmart and grabbed a toboggan and some old work gloves. And we were on it. And I thought, oh, no. My uncompetitive nature kicked in. And I said, if he can do it, I can do it. So I say, turn up the radio, Dwayne. Here we go. I drop it down and we take off and we're just cruising. And about a mile later from the ditch, I realize, whoopsie. But what I failed to recognize is the cool cat wasn't as cool of a cat as I thought he was. Because what transpired 3 blocks later was his loss of control and taking 3 cars out with him before he come to a stop while spinning around and around. I had no idea what was ahead. This gentleman who came cruising by me became my criteria for my life at that moment. Instead of going with my common sense and what little bit of brain I had at that age, and knowing the ability of my truck and my ability as a driver, I let him dictate to me how I should be driving. Instead of taking it cool and easy and slow and doing what I knew to do, I allowed this gentleman to set the standard for me. And while in the ditch, because I was going too fast and another car was coming towards me and I couldn't avoid them because they lost control, I began to realize that it was not good for Scott to base my life on somebody else's standards. Remember now, this guy came by me and appeared to have his act together. He appeared to have it going on. We've met those in life. That's what he looked like from a distance as he came by. He looked as if he had it all together. He looked as if he knew what he was doing. What I didn't know is he only had the look. He really didn't know. He had no idea 3 blocks later he would take out 3 more cars and end up on his side. My thoughts were, I can drive like him. I can keep up with him. And God showed me that day that you've got to learn to live with a long-term perspective. One of my most favorite people in the world was your father, Miss Patsy. And his words always ring ever in my ears in saying, Pastor, if I would have known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself and made a few different decisions. And that day I began to realize the truth to the words that Mr. Frank would later speak into my life. And I remember growing up even, my mom would say, Son, don't you run with that crowd. They're trouble. But Mom, they're the cool kids. Mom, that's where... Oh, Mom, come on. Nope. They're going to get caught one day. And if you're with them, you're going to get caught too. You're going to get in trouble too if you stay there. It appears that they're on top of the world. It appears they've got the world by the tail, but they haven't hit that moment yet where their car spins out of control and takes others with them. So what am I speaking to you today is something that just simply has been spoken over me. Slow down. You see, if I'd have stayed slow and steady in my little truck, I would have never ended up in that ditch and having to walk several miles to get back home because I could not get anybody to pull me out. Slow down! You know, one of my favorite places to get away from the busyness of life is our backyard, the beautiful Smoky Mountains. I love to go and just sit down by the stream. My wife and I will go sometimes just take coffee and just sit there. We won't say 2 words to each other for the longest time, just watching and listening to the water and enjoying the creation that God has given us. It's just a fantastic place to enjoy His creation. And in being out there in God's creation, it gives you this sense of a deeper commitment and a deeper intimacy with God, just enjoying what He's created for us. It gives me this connection with Him, it feels. You see, I have had to learn, and I'm still learning, to be intentional about slowing down. We've got to be intentional to step away and slow down and reconnect with God in my life. Now, you may not need that reconnection. I need it daily. I got to have it daily. And there's times where I've got to just block it out and I've got to get away and I've got to go sit down and enjoy His creation and just reconnect with God. I have learned that I have to seek out opportunities to slow down. You You know, many times life is kind of like that river running through the mountains. It just flows forward without stopping. And life's like that a lot of times. It just keeps flowing without stopping. And I remember maybe a month ago, we were sitting there and we weren't saying anything and we were both just kind of reading or looking at the stream. And I remember just sitting there in the chair and watching this stick. I saw it coming and I watched it and it just floated. And it floated until it went out of sight. Just floating down the stream. And I began to think, you know, that debris and that stick is a lot like my life. It will never pass by this place or opportunity ever again. It will never pass this time. This moment in time will never happen again. It will never float by here. It'll never come by this moment ever again. And I believe our life stories are like that stick. It existed by, it was existing with, and it existed in that river. And our life a lot of times is existing in that river. And folks, this moment, this time, this stage of your life, you're never going to come back to it. But the good news is simply this. God invites us to understand time from His perspective and to live wisely in the midst of time. He invites us and has this open invitation to us. My desire, as I've been praying this last week, is we've got fall coming. Hallelujah. I love fall. I love spring. I enjoy them all, but I just love fall because the colors, the change of season, you know it's getting ready to snap and get cold, and it feels great outside those early mornings with the brisk in the air, and it just feels good. And I want us, as this fall season comes in, I want us to learn to slow down and cultivate deeper relationship with God and with others. Cultivate relationships one with another. Wow. You know, I want us to think about our lives today. And I'm hoping at some point today that something God has put in my heart will grasp your attention. And I want us to think about why we live such hurried lives when we have such a short time to enjoy it. We are so hurried. We're so rushed. You know, instead of, we're always talking about time management, managing our time, and making time for this, and I'm huge on block scheduling and blocking time, sections of time, but instead of trying to manage our time, let's focus on how we can manage ourselves in the midst of life's river as we're floating by and going through life. Let's focus and see, how can we manage ourselves? How can we change the rushed, hurried lifestyle? God gives us this wonderful invitation in Psalms chapter 37 and 7. And when I read it, I was like, really, God? And He says this. He says, be still. Be still before the Lord. And wait patiently upon Him. Really, God? I got to be still and be patient? But God, I got this to do. I got to be here. Be still and wait on me, He says. Be still. Slow down. And I don't know about you. Some of you, this may come natural. But it takes work to slow down and be still and wait on the Lord. I remember Jeremy stayed with us when he was a kid, and he went back and he told my mom, he said, Mom, they're crazy. They just live spontaneous. It's always do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I liked it, Mom. Mom's like, don't get used to it. But I'm having to learn and intentionally take steps to be still. And no, it's not easy in this life that we live, in this world, in this generation. It takes intentional effort. So my goal today is to try to help you slow down and to cultivate a deeper relationship with Christ and with others. Because what happens a lot of times is we're so hurried. When I go home, that's my time. Don't bother me. And I don't cultivate relationship. We don't cultivate relationship. You know, in the book of Acts, the church, they met as a congregation. And it says they were continually in homes, fellowshipping, sharing love of God, sharing food. Come on now. They cultivated relationships. And I'm just going to tell you, I know that God's been speaking this to me, and I know that this is one of the things He's been telling me. And God used Pastor Jewel at 89 years old yesterday, Calvin. We were standing there with him by his bed, and he's sitting in his wheelchair with his oxygen going. And he began to speak to me, and he began to say, "Make time, son." Here was his words. He said, "It's so important to refocus." He even said, "I wish that I could go back and refocus some of my time and my energies and begin to think about what," this is what he said. He said, I wish I would have thought about what was important in that season. And I'm talking about a man of God here, folks. I'm talking about if there's ever been a man of God that I've known personally and had the privilege to know and walk with, he's a man of God. If Pastor Jewel says it, you better take it to the bank because God's speaking. He's just that kind of man of God to me. I just believe he's awesome. And you see, he's so right because help me, we make time for what's important to us. So we have to step back and say, "God, help me to refocus and slow down and enjoy this life as I'm floating through life's river. Help me to focus and slow down." You know what happens so often? That we're so busy and we do make time for what's important to us. But so often the first thing we do is, I was talking to somebody this last week, is we would even withdraw from the church. When Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembly, be there. In other words, he's saying, you need each other. You got to come together. You got to make time one for another. And we've got to slow down and begin to prioritize and make important what's important in this life. Because we are not promised tomorrow. We may not make it home today. And I look back at my kids and they're growing up. I got, Lord help me, I got one getting ready to start driving this month. And I get her license. I got one getting married in January. And I'm like, where has it gone? And I've had to reevaluate and say, slow down. Enjoy it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd give anything if I could hit the rewind button on life and go back and change some things and slow down. And enjoy that phase of life when they were asking those 400,000 questions. And I was like, would you please just shut up? I would love to go back and slow down and take in one more ball game. Amen, Todd? I'd love to go back and enjoy that practice you get to go to, Jeremy. I would love to hit the rewind and change some things that I said to my children. What am I telling you? Slow down. This phase will never come again. You'll never see this again. Just like that stick floated right by me, I never saw it again. Slow down. So how do we slow down in life when everybody's in a hurry? Everybody. Everywhere you go, everything you do, everybody is in a hurry, amen? Some of you are sitting there going, Pastor, I wish you would hurry because I'm ready to eat. Hurry it up. My wife said, amen, hurry it up. Yeah, we live in this fast-paced lifestyle, man. We're just going and going. And I believe even with social media that our attention span has even gotten less since we have social media. You see, we have to develop, we've developed this urge inside of us to where we want to have good conversations with people quick. We want to say, hey, Corbin, hey, oh, yeah, that's great, okay. Hey, Coach Hall, what, yeah, okay, that's great. And we want these quick conversations that are deep and meaningful and oh. Come on, you know it's true. You know it's true. I want to give you five things that hurry in your life will cause. Hurry in my life, it increases stress. I went to the doctor this past Thursday, and you know all the stuff that has happened, and praise God, he took me off of one more med. And one thing, Pastor Jewel, he had no idea. I wasn't going to tell him anything about it, but the first thing he prayed over me was health. Man of God, I'm telling you. But the doctor, he said, how's your stress? And he spoke these words over me. He said, your sugar's going to go back up if you don't slow down and get rest. Hurry, when you're hurrying and you're rushing nonstop, your stress is going to go up. It's going to go up. I'm not going to park here in camp. I got so many things I want to give to you. Number two, hurry, it decreases my joy because I'm stressed to get from one point to the other. And in that stress and in that hurried rushness, it makes me less productive. You see, and it will also, it'll dry up my love. And when your love dries up here, it starts drying up here. And it starts drying up here. Because we don't make time for that meaningful conversation because we're in too big of a hurry. We're in too big of a rush. Wife will ask, how was today? What happened today? Oh, it's great. It's good. Okay. Where's dinner? Come on, men. Hurry. It keeps me from hearing God. Because I'm too rushed to hear from Him. It keeps you from hearing God speak to you through His Word because you're in too big of a rush to even listen from His Word. Folks, I can't begin changing without recharging. We've got to slow down. Slow down. So how do we slow down our pace and enjoy a healthier life? Number one, I believe comes from the Apostle Paul, and he says, be content. That wasn't real popular. In midst of a generation that says, more, 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 be content. Be content. I'm going to say it till you get it. Be content. Paul says in Philippians 4:11, I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. You see, if we will learn to be content, you begin to desire less. Come on now. You begin to demand less. And you begin to be less obsessed with moving up in life. Why? Because you're refocusing on what's important with your time here on this great planet Earth. You begin to recognize purpose and you begin to recognize why we're here. You begin to recognize the relationships that God has placed in your life and you begin to appreciate them and begin to spend time with them. Learn to be content in all facets of life. Number two, learn to say no. No. No! Absolutely not. No. Sorry. No. No. Learn to say no. Why am I telling you say no? Because I look around and a lot of you are doing way too much. And you're not saying no to things you should say no to. And you're not saying yes to some things you should say yes to. So you've got to learn to say no to those things and yes to some of these things. The areas that God is wanting to use us, we can't say yes to and we can't fulfill because we're so consumed with time trying to fulfill these areas that we should have said no to. I'm going to move on. Number three. And this right here is the toughest one for this old boy. Learn to trust God's perfect timing. Learn to trust His perfect timing. And it's so hard because maybe I'm the only one. I'm standing up here for a reason today. It's because I want things now. McDonald's, don't wait. Make me wait for my daughter's sweet tea. I'm in a hurry. I want it now. I want it now. We went to a restaurant the other night, and all four of us were kind of looking at each other going, what in the world? Instead of enjoying the conversation, we were consumed. Why is it taking so long for our food? Instead of enjoying fellowship and building relationship and bonding and enjoying that time, we were too consumed with going, what is that? This guy's a horrible waiter. So I said, don't you tip him. No, she didn't. She said, don't do your normal tipping. But we get so, we get so consumed because we want it now that we've got to slow down and trust God's perfect timing. We want it right now. We get so frustrated when things don't happen according to my timetable. When it doesn't happen, dude, I get all tore up and spazzed out. And I've got to learn to step back and slow down and trust God with His timetable. When we learn, as Pastor Jewel was speaking to me and praying over me and saying, when we learn to trust God's perfect timing, folks, it helps relieve that pressure. It relieves pressure. It relieves the anxiety of trying to meet my goal, trying to meet my deadline, trying to get something done so quickly on my own timetable. It relieves it. Let me give you this thought. Perhaps you are so fast-paced in life because you are not content with Jesus Christ in your life. Maybe you're in such a rat race and so hurried as a result of not being content inside yourself with Christ. Because until Christ is enough, nothing else will be. Nothing else will be. I want to ask you this morning, are you satisfied with Christ today? Are you satisfied in your relationship with Christ? Folks, we've got to learn to find fulfillment in Christ. We've got to find fulfillment in Christ above our paycheck. We've got to learn to find fulfillment in Christ above our jobs. You got to learn to find fulfillment in Christ above school, above a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You got to learn to find fulfillment in Christ above popularity, above power, above the position. You've got to find fulfillment, have fulfillment in Christ. Because if you don't, you cannot love Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. You know, it's easy to say it. It's easy to verbally say, I love Him with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. I love Him. But it's another thing to show it through your speech, your conduct, and your behavior. That's the real thing. That's the real thing. You see, if we're going to, I heard somebody put it this way one time, if we're going to learn to walk with God, we're going to have to learn to walk in His rhythm. We're going to have to learn to walk with His pace. We're going to have to learn to walk as He walks. And folks, I'm just going to throw this out there. He's not multitasking. And it's scientifically proven you can't do it either, but we're not going there. And you know what I've learned? He's not in a hurry. Oh, come on. Am I the only one that has noticed God doesn't get in a hurry? I mean, have you ever found that I wanted it yesterday, and it's still, and now it's tomorrow and the next day, and he's still not, it's not in a hurry? I want to give you a little quiz this morning that I read. I'm going to give you this little quiz, and I want you to answer it in your mind. You don't have to raise your hand or anything like that, but I want to give you this quiz to see if you are in too big of a hurry. First question is simply this. Do you check your cell phone first thing in the morning? Do you look for texts, emails, missed calls, social media messages? Forgive me, God. Do you get frustrated with that elderly person in front of you driving so slow? And more than likely, they're doing the speed limit. Come on now. Do you go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and take your phone just to check and see if you've got any social media messages? Because I know that you're so important. I know. Do you ever lie in the bed of a morning rehearsing in your mind and going through, I've got this, 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 and this, and you're going through everything, and before you even get up, you're frustrated and agitated. You're already wore slap out because you've been thinking about it all morning. You're already stressed and frustrated before you even get out of the bed. Let me ask you this one, number five. Are you able to sit down at lunch with a friend or spouse and not look at your phone? Preach, Pastor! That's good stuff. You know, I'm just going to be transparent anyway. I'm so tired of sitting down and us not even being able to carry on a conversation because of those crazy phones. I thank God for them. I thank God I have one. I thank God my wife can get a hold of me 24/7 no matter what. I thank God that she can text me 10 times before I can read the first one. I thank God for them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on, you men are scared. Come on, don't leave me hanging. But I had a luncheon with a pastor friend who needed to talk. We sat for 2 hours across from one another. And I would venture to say, out of the 2 hours, we probably had 25 minutes of conversation because one of the two of us was picking our phone up. And I'm talking about somebody who needed some help at the time. And we could not develop that relation because, oh, I got to get this one. Folks, I'm just going to throw it out there. We're too busy. We're too busy. I'll say it to this side, see if you'll take it. We're too busy. We're too busy. We're too busy to make time for what's important. We're too busy to slow down. We're too busy. You see, we've got to slow down and give the people that's most important to us our undivided attention. I've been married 32 years to this woman, and I thank God for her patience because I get too busy. And I'm sorry. I wish I could rewind and change some of that. But you know what I can do? I can start today and say, slow down, Scott. Slow down, Scott. Take time to develop the relationships
with people that God has placed in your life. Parents, slow down for that child. I want to say it again. Slow down for that child. They deserve it. They're well worth the investment. God entrusted them to you for a reason. Slow down. Slow down and give folks your full attention, because just like that stick in the river floating down, this is the only moment in time right now in this life that we have as it's passing by this way. This is it. And we're such a habit of rushing around. Oh. I have met people that have no need to be in a rush, but they're in a rush because they're so accustomed to being in a rush. They think something's wrong if they're not in a hurry and not in a rush. Oh, we got to... Hey, whoa, what? Slow down! You know, maybe this is just for me today, but let me get it out and preach to Scott. I'll probably re-listen to it when Robert emails it to me tomorrow. I'm going to listen to myself again. I'll say, oh, you big dummy. But it's time to slow down and focus on what's really important. And I know this is a totally different sermon. My wife likes it when I just rear back and let her fly and I preach. Ah! But God has just been pouring into me, slow down for what's really important. Slow down. Recognize what's important in this season. Recognize what God has placed in this season that needs your time. You know, if you look at Christ's life, He always took time out, especially for those close to Him. He took time out. It tells us several times that He was moved with compassion. Slow down. Enjoy it. The words that Pastor Jewel Travis spoke to me yesterday as he laid his hand on my head and I knelt down will ring over for the rest of my life. When he said, I wish I could go back and reevaluate what was important. He said, slow down, Scott. Of course, I was a sopping mess, crying like crazy, and God just moved in that room. Most of us are in such a rush that we're getting out of the car before it even stops. We're getting out. My poor wife gets in such a rush that she has literally ran around the house looking for her phone while she's talking on it. We do. Come on. I mean, how many of you have looked for your glasses while you're wearing them? Because you're in such a rush. We are in such a hurry for everything. Slow down. We have to, and here's bottom line. Eric, come help me. Hush. Where are you at? Hey, come on. We are in such a rush. And we've got to learn to slow down on the inside. Because if you don't slow down in here, you're not going to slow down out here. You've got to slow down in here and develop here in order to slow down and develop here. You see, as long as our minds are running from this to that and that to this and this to that, you get my point. It's just always running and running and running. My mind's always thinking, I got to get this done. I got to go here. I got this meeting. I got to talk to them. Oh, what's coming on this one? Where am I? I'll be talking to one person thinking, what is the next person bringing to me? How am I going to deal with this? Our minds are running. And we've got to slow down. Slow down. If we, I don't know, anybody besides me, I want to enjoy life. How old am I? 53? 53? At 53, Todd, I'm going to enjoy the rest of my life. I'm going to enjoy the rest of my life. Matter of fact, I'm going to go play golf this afternoon. If anybody wants to go play golf, holler at me. We'll go. Frankie's going with me, aren't you, Frankie? Yeah, Mama say okay. Enjoy life. Build relationships. Take time for what's important. What am I telling you? Slow down. Slow down. Slow down. We can't enjoy anything that God is trying to provide for us because we're in too big of a hurry. There's things that I believe wholeheartedly that God is trying to show us and trying to do for us, but because we're in too big of a rush, we miss it. I mean, think about this. Could you see Jesus leading his disciples trying to live like we live? Oh, hurry up, Peter, get up. We got to get to Jerusalem. We got to go heal this one. Come on, let's go, guys. Get out. Get out of bed. Let's go. Hurry, we got. Oh, there's a woman by the well. We got to get over to the well. She's waiting on us. Let's go, fellas. Oh, we got to get across the Sea of Galilee. Come on, boys. Get it in gear. Wolf that sandwich down, Paul. Get on the boat. No. I venture to say that we're in such a hurry that we don't even recognize the needs of some of those closest to us. That we're in such a rush. Parents, don't be in such a rush that you miss the opportunity to invest in that kid. Don't be in such a rush that they've got something to tell you, yet you're too busy to listen. I know they talk nonstop, and you're like, oh, for the love. But I promise you, you're going to miss it. I promise you. Slow down. Take time for what's important. Make time. Resist the temptation to overcommitting in this area when God is telling you to get to this area. Resist it. Pay attention to the place of your life right now. And folks, I'm not just saying float through life. No. You got to have a healthy balance. I know we've got to have tasks. I know we've got a schedule. I know, but find a healthy balance and slow down. Listen to what Jesus said. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as I read these last two scriptures to you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, he said, be careful, or your hearts are going to be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness. And here's what I want you to get. And the anxieties of life. In other words, slow down. Or you're going to be consumed with the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. When you're in too big of a hurry, it's going to happen. It will happen. And I love this. And I'm going to throw this one out there. And I'm done. And I'm going to challenge you to do exactly what he says in Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, he said, and I will give you rest. Slow down. Come to Christ, and he will give you rest. We are such a sleep-deprived society because we're so rushed that our brains cannot shut down to be replenished. I'm going to challenge you right where you're at. These altars are open. There's some of you, I'm looking at your face, I'm going, gosh, I just want to go grab them and bring them up here and pour oil over the head and watch it run down like Aaron's beard and God just revive and restore. but I can't do that. It wouldn't do any good. He's saying, come to me. These altars are open. These altars are open. As they begin to lead us in worship, these altars are open.